I'm forever glowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
Hey, it's Beth here, episode 526. You will not believe what happened. You know how excited I was about becoming a NICU baby hugger? My heart was up my sleeve. I wanted it so badly. Monday was my appointment time, 12 o'clock. I was going to get there an hour early. Sunday rolls around. Wake up. Half of my face looks like a deranged party balloon. Blown up. Have to go to the doctor. Emergency room. I've got pink eye. Pink eye. That is like the worst thing that could happen in a NICU, preschool, daycare, anything with anybody under four. Pink eye is the worst. And I get it for the first time in my entire life. Taya was fit to be tied. Typhoid Mary going into the NICU. The thing that sent me out of my mind was Monday was going to be, part of it was going to be my drug test. And I knew that they were going to think that I did drugs over the weekend, and that's why I didn't want to come in on Monday. I was positive. So I went crazy, absolutely into a total panic. Well, guess what? Wrote my little note Sunday afternoon. This is what happened. I got a doctor's note from the doctor, just in case I ran into some trouble over this. I've been ghosted. Absolutely ghosted. I called yesterday, sent a message on Sunday afternoon, nothing Monday. Called her phone yesterday, left a voicemail, nothing back. I'm frantic. I wanted this. I thought I could have it because it was volunteer work and they weren't paying me anything. I hate being ambitious. I hate wanting anything. I hate wanting anything that anybody can keep from me. Oh, it just reminds me of Santa Claus and Christmas. I wanted a Patty Play Pal. This is the beginning of it. This is where it comes from. And it is so big. And I haven't dealt with it because I can't deal with it because it keeps happening in my life. What am I going to deal with? What can the therapist say? Won't happen to you again? No, it does. I want a Patty Play Pal. Years. Wrote Santa Claus. Amazing letters. My mother thought Patty Play Pal was white trash, so she wouldn't buy it for me. Not with Santa Claus. I wanted it since I was four. I wanted it for 4 years. Everyone else had a Patty Play Pal. She was awesome. She'd get me these Madame Alexandra dolls that she wanted. I mean, I understand the sentiment. I understand it, but this baby-hugging thing was Patty Play Pal all over again. But I really thought it would be like Santa Claus because I wasn't asking for money or anything. But ghosted, ghosted, pet peeve. It is horrible. If this is how people are behaving in a professional manner, world, it's wrong. She could have just texted me back. Or emailed me back. Sorry, we think you're a drug addict now. And I would come in with my note and I would prove to them that I had pink eye. I have a picture of the pink eye with the date on it. I'm ready for whatever they want to throw at me. But I'm ghosted. I'm not finished. Going to send another email tomorrow. And the emails, oh my gosh, there was so much work to be done to be in this. So many, like, finding inoculations and records. Kid did all the work. It was beautiful. I was so proud of it as if I did it myself. And I'm ghosted. So, crazed. I'm starting to sweat just thinking about it. Okay, I'm going to move on because I can't take it. So, I'm going to tell you about the movie Dune 2. I saw Dune 1. I never read the book. I'm not into science fiction. But I did learn how to pronounce the director's name. Denis Villeneuve. If anybody asks you, just say Denis Villeneuve, and you're going to be great. Okay, it was beautifully filmed. The cinematography was gorgeous. I could not stand that nostril oxygen thing that they had. And they were kissing with the nostril oxygen thing. The whole time it just turned me off. Okay. And then the, what do they call them? Sandworms? I'm just not getting it. Surfing on a sandworm? Ugh. I can't even imagine the slime and the sand on that. Ugh. The whole thing turned me off, but it was beautifully done. I think young people would like it. If you've got middle schooler coming, grandkid for spring break, any holiday, it was well done. The sound was great. I'm sure they'd be impressed. No kids in my theater got up to go to the bathroom. So I think they liked it. One good thing is Anya Taylor-Joy, who was in The Queen's Gambit. You know, that girl with the real big eyes. Okay, so she pops up in this movie at the end. And Hollywood had kept it a secret. It was a real ha-ha-ha moment. Never has Hollywood been able to keep a secret before. This guy took her all by herself to Africa to make this one shot in the film. It looks perfect, but they fooled Hollywood. So Deneva Nuve, Anya Taylor-Joy, you tell somebody that at the party and they're going to love you for it. You sound great. So that's, I can't really, I didn't fall asleep, which is amazing. That's what my friend said. She thought I'd go out in 5 minutes. She's a sci-fi fan. She loved it. She read the book. Okay. And there wasn't enough of Zendaya, however they pronounce it this week, for me, because she's so beautiful. But I wish I could just take those nose rings, those nose things out of their noses. It's such a turnoff, but can't do it. So there. Okay. Now, Newshound. This was a pretty good week. Argentina has a new president. He has the highest inflation in the world. And he has his cloned mastiff dogs that he calls his children, his four-legged children. He loves them more than anything. And when people start getting upset about inflation, the dogs growl. They're around him all the time. He's got a ton of them, 5. They're huge. They surround him. He loves them more than people. And people just agree with him now on everything. If you want to win every argument, get yourself 5 cloned mastiff dogs, the biggest in the world. That's what he has. And that's how come he wins every argument. So there is something beautiful. Ruth Gottesman has given $1 billion to the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, and it will ensure free tuition in perpetuity. Kit went to a school called Rice University in Houston that had free tuition in perpetuity, but his PERPA stopped the tuity, and now people have to pay. So I don't know if this perpetuity will go on forever, but his perpetuity ran out in ink and money, and now those kids have to pay. But anyway, $1 billion is a lot of money today. Probably in 10 or 15 years, it won't be much at all. It'll be $1 million, and we're going to have to talk about the PERPA and the tuity and see what happens. But lovely gesture. So now these kids, these poor little kids who are going to be doctors, won't have to pay off their student loan. Huh. I don't know. Still a good idea. But doctors make pretty good money. I don't know. She could have put her perpetuity somewhere else. But good for her. She did what she wanted to do. And the school, I wish she'd put it in research and development and not in tuition. But that's me. And I'm not Mrs. Gottesberg, so Mrs. Gottesman. So good for her. Just would have done something different. Okay. In Colombia, you're going to be greeted, and I want to do this now. I always wanted to go to Colombia because Romancing the Stone, that fabulous movie with Kathleen Turner when she was so hot. And, oh my God, it was so beautifully done. And they were in Cartagena, and I always wanted to see it, but I never got there. But now I really want to go because you're greeted. People say your mercy. And they're very chivalrous. They have very good manners. And it just means hello. And it just means, how you doing? But I just think Cartagena and somebody coming up to me and saying that would just be a wonderful vacation. But it's not going to happen, probably because it's hard to get there. So anyway, if you go to Colombia and they say your mercy, this lady who wrote the article said it really made her nervous and she didn't know how to respond. And she thought it might actually be a like colonial insult. But she found out that they call everybody that. So don't make the mistake when you go to Colombia. Just be easygoing about it and let somebody call you your mercy. It's just so Queen Elizabeth. Okay, so this guy in The Modern Love, he's trying to like himself. And he was told to breathe and he was told to love himself and he was told to do all these things that are so impossible. Couldn't do it. Finally, there was this thing called Meta. And it's not like on the internet. What it is you just choose to like someone you don't even know. So maybe you'll be at the grocery store and you'll see a lady and you'll just wish her a wonderful day. And the psychologists say that this really helps. And it takes all the work out of, you know, trying to love yourself. And it depersonalizes things a little bit. But you get a great feeling when you made someone happy. Or you look at a little kid and you just wish he has the best day. Or a dog. Or a bird. Or anything. And so this is how this guy does it. He says to something or someone, may you be healthy and free of pain. May your life be filled with happiness. And then he just walks on his way. And I think with all the bad news, and you smile at that person, which nobody's smiling at anybody. And they probably won't even see it because they're on their phone. You're not going to offend anybody. Or maybe they will see it and they'll smile back at you, which there are way too few smiles in this world right now. Way too few people holding the doors. Way too few people just stepping out of the way or holding the door. I hold the door all the time and people think it's funny. And so I make a joke out of it. Like I just got hired and I'm going to hold the door and hi and greet her like I greet them. People used to hold the door for everyone. When I hold the door for someone who has a package, they actually are grateful and amazed and thrilled that I'm holding the door. So I will do that forever and do it too. I mean, we need more love in this world. This one was crazy. It was called Unhitched. This is a new category in the the style section of the New York Times. Whoa. After the divorce, she was the best man at his wedding. Okay, this couple gets married. They knew each other since they were 13. Okay, fine. Madly in love, sort of. And everything goes great. She goes into the military. They have a baby. And she comes out of the military and she realizes that she likes girls better than boys. Okay. He wants to stay her best friend. They have a kid. I get it. I totally get it. But he quickly jumped into another relationship and remarried. And she was the best man at the wedding. It raised some eyebrows in Newburgh, where they still live. But no one knows me better or longer than Marissa, he says. His second marriage recently ended. Well, duh! How unfair, and she had a baby with you, too! This is not okay. All right, somebody should have sat you down. And the first wife, Marissa, if you love him so much, step out of the way. You think that second wife? I'm a second wife. I will tell you, no, no, no. You are stealing her thunder. It is disgusting. And I guess she just thought, okay, you know, Marissa will be the best man at his wedding, and then she's going to go away and let us live the rest of our lives in peace and happiness. No, Marissa's never going away. You needed to nip that in the bud. Now you lose. You're on the outs. It makes me sick for the second wife. She's on the outs. Oh my gosh, this is the other thing. This probably was the last straw for her. Marissa is the second wife's baby's, what do you call it? The mother, the what do you call it when you're the, you're at the baptism and you are the spiritual mother, the backup dancer in case something happens to the mother. That is what she was. And I'm like, no. She shouldn't be at the baptism. And she doesn't get to keep be the godmother. She doesn't. So then she goes on, and this Marissa person, she writes about her first marriage. Straight women are taught that relationships are destined to be unsatisfying, both sexually and emotionally, which is not helpful. Marissa has all the answers, okay? I wish I'd listened to my doubts early on, but I also have no regrets about our relationship. Marissa, not everyone has been taught that relationships with men, straight women, we all haven't been taught that relationships are unsatisfying sexually and emotionally. In fact, we were brought up on Disney. We were brought up on fairy tales, happily ever after. Marissa, you can't look in the mirror and think maybe, just maybe. Oh, now these children, Marissa and her ex-husband, the children are inseparable, but the second wife isn't there. It's Marissa, her first husband, and the two kids, and nobody in this entire article gives an iota, a single thought to the second wife. Oh my gosh. So she says, Marissa says this at the end. You make a commitment when you marry to be there for the other person. We were best friends before, and we are best friends now. Marissa. Unbelievable. Not fair, not good, not okay. I wish next week the second wife could come in and talk about this just for 5 minutes. Give us the heads up on the other half of that story. Oh, it made me see red, blue, green, orange, every color in the rainbow. That's in fire. I saw it. Just no respect for second wives. None. All we do is get, jokes written about us. Like we're, always ruining homes and perfect love affairs and everything. And poor little second wife. Oh, and her child. Nobody cares. Oh, we just get together. All four of us? What about the second wife? Oh my God. Oh my God. She's probably in therapy every day of the week. I don't love it, okay? Didn't love it. Really think the world just needs to, I don't like when they call us cougars. I don't like when they call men in our age group dirty old men. And I don't like what second wives are called. Sometimes we're not so bad, okay? I've been around 49 years. I've been trying my best. Not so bad. But wow, Marissa, all the answers. You feel so great. You sleep well at night. Everything you do, you think you're doing for good, and you're not. Oh no, Marissa, I would love to have 15 minutes of your time. Ah, okay, not going to get it. Which brings me to the Snapchat, which is going to go back to what I'm really upset about. I am upset about Marissa, but I am more upset about my NICU baby hugging career coming to a screeching halt. Okay. So I woke up on that Sunday, not the first time in my life, not by a long shot, but anytime I get ambitious, anytime I want something, world, watch out. I get crazed, and I wanted this baby hugging that badly because I really think I'd be good at it. I really wanted something good to do. And when I woke up on Sunday and I saw helium face, half of my face blown up, this huge wart on it, there was nowhere to go. I come out, I am spitting nails. I'm eating mailboxes. I am fit to be tied. Kit looks at me. You seen this before? They call it, I just learned this, emotional deregulation. Whoa. In spades. Capital letters. My reaction seems to be way out of proportion for what happened. I don't even get my period anymore. This one was on steroids. I was banging my feet on the ground. Oh my God. So, it's the care and treatment. I looked it up. They want to put you in in-house treatment. It looks like encephalitis, Alzheimer's, frontal lobe dementia, and delirium. They tell people if you're going to try and help somebody who's going through this problem, which I just blocked the name of it again, emotional deregulation, you should wear protection. I would have suggested Kit wear an athletic cup and a helmet and glasses, but there he was early in the morning. Well, early for me, 9:30. Sunday morning. He's just staring at me. This time, the most remarkable thing happened. I really wish we could go back and do our whole marriage over with all the stuff we've learned, especially all the stuff he's learned. What I needed him to do and what he did was fix it. I couldn't think. I knew I was going to get in trouble because of this drug test. And she also said, if you have to cancel, give me one work day. It was Sunday morning when it happened. I had this sick feeling that it was going to go badly. And I felt like, you know, my greatest fears aren't realized, but they are. I knew it was wrong getting upset to this extent because people do get sick. We went to this emergency hospital. They couldn't have been nicer. It was empty. Fabulous treatment. Everybody was great. I asked the doctor for a note because I told him they're going to think that I'm a drug addict because that's why I'm not here on Monday. I'm getting all upset just thinking about it. He said he'd write me a note, but he said they're not going to think like that. They're going to think that you were being very cautious, which is very smart when you're around babies. I believed him. Monday morning, the truth came out and I've been ghosted. And if this is what happens to kids, they say that young kids having an awful time getting jobs. And I've read articles about it. They go 8 rounds with interviews and then they get ghosted. I want ghosting to be gone. It is not hard to write someone an email or a text. And I mean, you're not breaking up a marriage saying we're not going to continue pursuing this. Just end it for the person. Plus, everybody knows how easy it is to end it. It's not in person, which is hard. It's impersonal. And people just cannot do it. They can't handle just being kind. I'm beside myself. So that's what happened. And I check my email every 15 minutes just to see. And I gave her times. I gave her 3 times that we could make it up this week, the exact times I gave her the last time, and she picked the first one. Then, in the phone call, I realized it was spring break this coming week. So in the phone call, I said the very same times that would work next week will work the week after that if you're going to have a nice spring break. Couldn't have been pleasanter. Couldn't have been nicer. I'm trying to get a volunteer job that makes no money. I really, really want it. And it's really being withheld. And she's really ghosting me. And I really want ghosting to be done. I think there's a lack of manners in the world. I think people are becoming very brusque and impolite. But this is wrong. This is a professional situation. She should, even if she said on Monday morning, got your message, I'm slammed, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I would be calm. I'd give her 2 weeks. Slammed. Hospital. I get it. You know? Overworked. Underpaid. Everything. Totally get it. Just let me know you received it. And then the phone went right to voicemail. Okay? She could have texted me with the phone number. I got it. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. That's it. Or, I don't know. Sorry, we think you're a drug addict. Try another hospital. Something. Just being left hanging like this it's intolerable. I can't stand it. I can't sleep. I can't think of anything else. All I see is red. I need help. I need help. I need everything to go away. I need people to behave kindly and nicely and wonderfully again. I know they can. I know they can. I think we should start with Mr. Rogers. I think he needs to come back into the world. He was a wonderful, wonderful influence. The way he greeted people. At his door, people would knock. He would invite them in. He would invite them to sit down. He would listen to what they said. I've watched these kids' cartoons with these kids. That Peppa Pig isn't the only one. They're all crazy. They never say thank you. They never say anything. So, yeah. But this is supposed to be a hospital. A really good one. Big. This isn't the way to treat anybody, especially a volunteer. I mean, I don't want my hand held, but I want to do this out of the goodness of my heart, and I'm not asking for one thing in response. Not one thing. I'm even going to pay for my uniform if they give me one. I'm doing all the heavy lifting. I'm the one that we should be nice to. Or just treat me like you're treating yourself. Don't treat me worse. It drives me crazy. So, anyway, I don't know what's going to happen next. Tomorrow, I'm going to send another fabulous, business-like, amazing email. So I'll have this email trail. Actually, what I want to do is go to the hospital and find her. Not in the parking lot. I want to go in the building. I want to behave like a human being. I just want her to take a look at me and give me another chance. And I don't want to go to another hospital because this is the Children's Hospital in Austin. This hospital has 30 beds in the NICU, newborn babies from all over the state come to this hospital. They need rockers. They need huggers. This one does. Other hospitals don't have this problem. This is the place to go. This is like, it's like the Harvard. This is like the culmination of my dreams, this hospital. So I don't want to get myself all emotionally deregulated again, but it is my pet peeve. Okay, so I'm going to try to leave us on a pleasant note because I'm going crazy, all right? And I hope by next week, I get to tell you that everything was in my head and she had an amazing excuse or expected me to understand that it takes 2 weeks to get back to anybody for anything. 2 weeks to take 1 minute to write an email in response. First of all, she should do it right away because it's right there. If she has to go back and find it, 2 weeks from now, that's stupid. She probably gets 100 emails a day. I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to accept the excuse if I get it. I'm going to believe her. I'm going to be thrilled. I'm going to go forward, and I'm never going to look back. That's what I can do when I get what I want. I can forget all the terrible things that happened along the way for me to get what I want. If I get what I want, if Lucy puts the football down, and Charlie Brown gets to kick it. He doesn't care. If it took 100,000 years of trying to get it done, he's going to love that kick. And that's who I'm going to be. When she calls me or texts me or emails me and gives me a new time, I'm going to come show up like nothing happened. I've got it in me to do that, I think. I'm sweating just thinking about it. I have to, like, blow my, ooh, it's hot. Okay, but I can, and I will. especially if I get a few days, I will never look back, never say what the, you know, you're doing that to me for. I will not get that jaw that is like, oh, it won't happen. I will keep it in. I will smile. I will be gracious. And I will be a baby hugger. That's all I want. Okay. So, you know, I'm in a weird mood. So I looked up Jack Benny because I was thinking about my father-in-law and my father, especially when I was young. If Jack Benny came on television, our little black and white television, when I was in the 50s, my father would be laughing hysterically at a man who was just standing there with his hand on his cheek. And he would be falling out of his chair. And then the man would just turn a little bit. And he would be falling out of his chair even more. And I got my father-in-law a VHS tape. That's how long this has been going on, this whole Jack Benny thing. And the same thing happened to him. There is something about this guy that makes men roll up in a ball, die laughing. So I looked him up and I was watching him, and he really does have comic timing. And he acts like he's this cheapskate. He's got character-driven humor. It should be a course. It should be a master course in comedy. Nobody does it like this. Nobody puts out their personality anymore as a type and then rolls the whole show up around it. Jack Benny did. Okay, did he really play the violin? Yes, he really did. He was in vaudeville. And he wasn't that good. He wasn't great. So he saved up all his money and he got a Stradivarius violin. Didn't help him one bit. So then he turned to comedy. He was married to this amazing woman named Mary who bounced off him. And they started up an act. Mary got tired of it. And George Burns' wife, Gracie, got tired of it too. The two guys had to go off on their own and work some more. The girls just didn't like the scheduling. They didn't like being bossed around. And so they just liked spending the money. So that's how it worked out. But Jack Benny would have never gotten anywhere without his wife, Mary. And George Burns credits Gracie with everything that happened to him too. And if you went back 50 years in time and you talked to either one of those women, they would tell you the same thing. So these are just a few of Jack Benny's greatest, okay? He thinks everyone is in Europe, everyone in England is named Derek. And if they're not, their name's Cecil or Basil. And he goes, oh my gosh, I only mean in showbiz. So then he said, when he won this amazing award, he said, when he put it in his hands and he gave it a kiss, he looked at it. It wasn't Oscar, but it was somebody close. And he said, I don't deserve this award. And then he did that thing with his eyes, put his hand on his cheek, and he said, but I have arthritis, and I don't deserve that either. The crowd went crazy. Okay, so then he was talking about his wife, Mary. Mary and he had 47 years of marriage. No police reports. No broken furniture. And so all the people in Hollywood were like, how do you do it? How do you and Mary stay so close? And he said, we've never contemplated divorce, but we have contemplated murder. But the furniture costs money, and the dogs get nervous. And so we just talk. So then he was having a big party at his house. And it was costing a fortune. And the funny thing about Jack Benny is he actually was cheap. And Mary actually was the biggest spender in the entire world. So they were having this big party, the most expensive party planners. And this was back in the 30s and 40s when there was no such thing. She was paying these people enough to buy 3 Buicks. That's what he said. Comes to the party, looks it over, and she goes, look at all these hors d'oeuvres. And he said, Those are ham sandwiches cut into 40 little tiny pieces. And he left the party. He didn't show up. She made him pay the bill twice because he ruined the party for the party planners. So he had to pay double. And I think that night he probably contemplated murder. But he didn't murder her because he couldn't, because she was always right. At least that's how every fight ended. So the last one he did was, he said, I don't want to tell you how much insurance I carry with Prudential. I don't want to tell you at all how much money it is costing me. All I want you to know is, he said, I don't want to tell you how much insurance I carry with Prudential. But when I go, they're going with me. So that's the kind of guy he was. I don't really have a joke in me this week. I'm so upset about this baby hugging thing. Geez, I could whip that whole thing up again. That, what do we call it? What happened to me? My emotional deregulation. I'm not regular yet. It's still deregulated because she hasn't texted me back. Ghosting is for the birds. Don't ever ghost anybody. Don't do it. I'm never going to do it. I probably have done it, but I'm never going to do it again. Especially if someone has volunteered to help me. I'm never going to do it. So just keep your fingers crossed for me that my volunteer coordinator gives me another chance. Please keep your fingers crossed, and I will be back. Thanks.
They fly so high, nearly reach the sky.